Welcome to this life-transforming message by Reverend Pascal. Reverend Pascal is a seasoned, anointed minister of the gospel whose teachings on Christian living, church growth, and the work of the ministry have inspired and impacted many ministers and believers. He is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant, cell-based ministry with many branches across South Africa. Through powerful services and spirit-led ministry, countless lives are being transformed, souls are being won, and passionate kingdom workers are being raised for the glory of God. As you listen today, may the Word of God minister life, healing, direction, and transformation to your spirit. May you encounter the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in a fresh and personal way. Be richly blessed as you listen.
I welcome all of us into our cell leaders training sessions. Amen. You are all welcome. It's great to have you all joining us. I believe that God is building his church. God is building his church. And we are privileged to be part of what God is doing. Hallelujah. We are very, very privileged. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for tonight's session. We ask, Lord, that you will minister to us. You will build us up. Holy Spirit, thank you for your glorious presence that's already here with us. We surrender our lives to you. We pray for your ministry in our lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that nobody will leave this place the same way they came. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. So once again, you are all welcome. Amen. You are all welcome to these sessions. I want to encourage you to open your heart. I want to encourage you to open your heart, because ever so often we focus on just having meetings. Like I've said many times before, charismatics are very, very good with meetings. But we need a change. Not just meetings. We need encounters. Hallelujah. Who came here for an encounter? Okay, so everybody is here for an encounter. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So I'm going to continue with what I started last week to share with us. Amen. I'm just trying to slowly but surely turn you into a servant of God. And I'm taking you through the process that a servant of God goes through, because you will realize at the end of this process that, you know, you are a servant of God. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Last week I showed you that the biggest challenge of us is believing that God has called you and that God can use you. Most of the time, when you look in the world, you would barely find a person that God called, and the guy say, yeah, you know, I was wondering how long you are going to take to realize that I'm here. And you understand? Most people that God called didn't think God can use them. Most of them, if not all of them, they didn't really believe that God could use them. And I'm saying this to say, as you are sitting here today thinking that you cannot be used by God, you are thinking right. That's exactly how everybody starts. Nobody starts believing, I can do it. Do you understand? We are always intimidated by our inadequacies, our shortcomings. There are so many things in our lives that are there to remind us that we are just people, and therefore we can't do this. Do you understand? I showed you last week how Moses told God, hey, I don't know how to talk. I showed you how Gideon told God, I'm the least in my family. I showed you how Peter told God, I am a sinner, I can't do this. How Jeremiah told God, I'm too young, I can't do this. It's all things, Sarah told God, I'm old. Even Abraham told God, I'm old. And I'm very sure you are telling God something. He said, like we are all saying, Lord, this, because of this, I don't think I'm the right person for this. Do you understand? We all come from those backgrounds. We are all inadequate when we start. And that's the beauty about the ministry. The Bible says that we have this treasure in, on earthen vessels. Meaning, like, it's not really us. God came to vessels of clay and put something glorious inside himself. And that's what is going to happen to you. As clay as you are, God is going to come to this clay and he's going to breathe. And all of a sudden, the clay is going to rise up and the clay is going to start moving. Do you understand? Yeah. Don't try to, like, deserve it or, you know, because you keep falling short. Just keep falling short. Just understand that God is going to work a work in you. And during these Monday sessions, I can't even give you the whole curriculum that God is going to, because God hasn't used the same curriculum for all of us. But there are just certain principles that if God is calling you, you will see that your life has, things are going to go this way and this way and this way. You understand? All right. So when you go past this stage of, I don't think I can do it. When you go past that and you now reach the stage where you start believing, okay, based on what pastor is saying, based on what I'm reading in this book, based on what I'm listening in this podcast, I think I'm called. I think God can do something with my life. I mean, after all, God used a donkey. After all, God, Jesus said that if you don't sing, stones will rise up and praise me. If God can use stones to praise him, if God can speak through a donkey, if God can make a rod to bat, I am in his image. By all means, there's something I can do for him as well. By all means, there must be something I can also do for him. And then you must also understand something about God, is that God is a very purposeful God. There's nothing that God does by accident, and there's nothing that God does by chance. There's a purpose behind everything. And he also created us as creatures of purpose. We have winter clothes, summer clothes, spring clothes. We have things for different purposes. Things are not just in the house, just lying there. Whenever something loses its purpose, we get rid of it. That's how we are. So if even the teaspoon in your kitchen has a purpose, how come you, a whole human being, has no purpose for God? How can that be? I think the reality is that you don't know the purpose yet. But as for you having a purpose, that's not something that we are sitting here to ask ourselves. That's clear. God has a purpose for everything he created. Including yourself. Including yourself. Now, also, our society where we are growing up, to be honest, is not very purposeful. Many times people do things, we don't even know why they're doing them. You understand? So it becomes even difficult for you to believe that there's a purpose for your life. Because most of the time, we just seem to go with what works. We don't work the job we wanted to work initially. We work the jobs that are available. That whatever is available for me to, you know, flow. So because of that thing, we start feeling that I don't even need this. If the job I'm working is just some job that was available, then I started doing it. But the actual job that I wanted to do, I've never managed to do it. Is there even a purpose in this life? Just find whatever you can find and then go along. Yeah. Just because the country government maybe is failing us there and there, and certain policies are failing us there and there, it doesn't mean God is also failing us there and there. No. God's purposes stand firm forever. And if you follow God, you will find out that even those failings of the government shall be used
for him to fulfill the purpose that he wants to fulfill with your life. You will see that. You will see that. Where you are, what's going on, he will use all of that to bring something wonderful for his glory. Praise God. That's why God doesn't mind calling a prostitute. No. You will see how he will use a prostitution to bring so many people to know him. God doesn't mind calling a welder, a boil maker. God doesn't mind calling an accountant. Wherever field you are coming from, God has a way to mix the ingredients and bring something wonderful out of your life. God doesn't mind calling a woman who doesn't have a husband. And God doesn't also mind calling a woman who has a husband. He has no limit. Many are called, including you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to start today with the making of a cell leader. How is a cell leader made? Because I believe we have cell leaders here. Or future cell leaders. Hallelujah. How is a cell leader made? What is the process that you go through to become a cell leader? Because the cell leader is basically where this whole thing starts. A cell leader is a shepherd. A cell leader is a pastor. A cell leader is an evangelist. A cell leader is a prophet. A cell leader is an apostle. A cell leader is everything. But how do you become a cell leader? What is the process that you go through? And when this process is completed, you are a cell leader. Praise God. We're going to look at Jesus as the best cell leader ever. I mean, Jesus is the model for everything we do. Everything we do, Jesus is the model. The Bible says that he is the way. What does that mean? I mean, Jesus is the methodology. Like when you want to do anything, Jesus is your reference. Jesus is your how-to. Like whatever you want to become, whatever you want to achieve, Jesus is the way to that thing. Jesus has the methodology to that thing. Follow Jesus, the way, and you will get wherever you want to get. Are you getting me? The way. The way. He doesn't just have the way. He is the way. So when you want to become anything, your model is Jesus. He is the perfect model for anything. Are you here? Yeah. So let's look at how Jesus metamorphosed from whatever he was into a cell leader. Yeah. How did he do it? Mark 6 verse 1. Let's start there quickly. Then Jesus went out from there. Okay, actually get there because you must all have your Bibles. Get there with your Bibles. Take your notes. Are you blessed? Wow. What a blessing. If you dare say, praise the Lord. If you know dare say, oh me. Wow. Sisters are always late. I don't know why. All right. Amen. All right. So, then Jesus went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. So he just started teaching. Do you understand? It's like this guy just came and he started teaching. You have to understand, Jesus was not teaching before this day. It's not like maybe he had been teaching and people had been seeing him around. I mean, like if Sipo now takes the mic here and starts teaching, some of us will not be surprised. Why? Because we've seen him do a few things there and there and there and there and there. Ibrada Sia, I mean, all these guys that are here, even a couple of you that are there. But imagine a complete stranger. Well, not a stranger. The guy is in the community. There's nothing. I'll just give it to you. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So the guy is in the community. Everybody knows him. But then he just comes to church. Then they say, okay, who has something to share? Then they say, me. Then they give him a chance. Do you get it? Then he goes there. Then he starts teaching. As soon as he starts teaching, people are like, what? What's going on? And not only his teaching, people are getting healed. Like, so many things are happening at the same time that they've never seen before in this particular person. It's like he just came out, like it just from nowhere. Here is Jesus teaching with accuracy and teaching with signs and proofs. You have to understand how, what confused these people. I mean, the people are very confused. He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. Many people shall be astonished when they hear. It's especially when you go through the process I'm about to show you. Do you understand? Don't just teach. Teach in a way that will astonish people. You see, when you are teaching and your teaching is not capturing people, you are a bad teacher. You are a disgrace. Like, you are teaching and people are sleeping. All your people are asleep when you are teaching. As soon as you start teaching, they start checking their phones. They start being so bored. I mean, they just want you to finish, say amen, so that we can go. Bad teachers. Have you, when you were in school, you remember bad teachers? Bad teachers. We all, there was some teacher, when it comes, we are all angry, we are all bored. We are all bored. But there are good teachers. Oh, when we see him from far, we are already excited. We are already excited. We jubilate as if he's a soccer player. Because he's a good teacher. He's going to get knowledge to us today. Yeah. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So Jesus was like, he just appeared and he's such a good teacher. They are astonished. Do you know what it means to be astonished? It's you are mesmerized beyond imagination. It's like, astonishment could even be bewitchment. Like you are no more yourself. Like you are flabbergasted. Yeah. When Michael Jackson will do the things, people were so astonished, they faint. They just faint. Like it reaches a level where they just faint. Especially women, they can't control. Like it goes to a level, she doesn't know what to do. She has screamed, she's been screaming, but the thing is still all over her. She just said, no, let me just faint. Hey! Jesus is astonishing people with revelations. The way he's mixing scriptures, the way he's bringing the scriptures out, the people are like, what is this? He said that you are there. As soon as you say, you can't even remember the scripture that you want to use. You can't read it well. You can't quote it well. And when you start quoting it, you misquote it. And then you are just busy with things. We don't even know whether it is a sermon, or it is a lecture, or it is some recipe that you saw in a magazine. Like, we are not sure. We are not sure what you are busy with. We are not sure what you are busy with. We don't know what you are busy with. And we should sit there and be listening to this torture. A torture. You are torturing the people. A cell leader is an astonishing teacher. Oh, as soon as you say, now it's time for the word, all your guys, they are like little babies. They are just doing like, yes, mommy, yes, yes, daddy, yes, 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 yes. They are just waiting. I mean, the preaching is nice. Astonished. Many hearing him were astonished. Can I tell you something? If you listen to the things I'm about to teach you, when many hear you, they will be astonished. You know, when people are astonished, they say, wow. Wow. My God. You. What do, Papa? There was a girl here during the 21 days of prayer and fasting. I can never forget her. Hey, I used to astonish that girl. she will just say, yo. I was astonishing her all the way. She would just look and say, yo. Hey, and she committed herself. Just before she could join the church properly, her father sent her to some Kimberly something. I tell you. Yo. May you receive some yo in your preaching. Hey, like people are like, yo. You see, when people start shaking like this, understand? When you are teaching, you see people start, they are not even aware. They just start doing like this. They don't know themselves. They don't know. And others start doing like this. What's happening? The preaching is working. The teaching is astonishing. Receive some astonishment. Aish. That's a good cell leader. A good cell leader captivates his people. You captivate your people. Not that you are teaching. That's when they all go to toilet. The owners go in there. They are talking among themselves. You don't even control what's happening. Because your word is not captivating. Your word is not astonishing. Learn from Jesus. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? Meaning some of the things Jesus is talking about are not in the Torah. I mean, if they're in the Torah, will they ask, where is he getting this thing? And say he's bringing knowledge that is not in the book that they gave him to read. Yeah. We're talking this morning with my wife about Bishop Dark. I tell you, she was telling me that she's reading a book by Bishop Dark where he's teaching about war. And Bishop Dark is explaining how bombs are made. Some bombs, he makes the difference between this bomb and this bomb. And she's asking herself, hey, pastor, now he's busy explaining bombs to us. Where did this man get these things? A great teacher has more than what was given him in the notes. That's a great teacher. A great teacher will make people wonder, where did he get that thing? That thing she was talking about, like, what was it again? What was that name? What was that name she mentioned? As to something. Which word was that? Where did they get those things? Those things. A lazy teacher. He just take the notes. Well, we are now on point what? Point 3. Okay. Point 2 was saying the making of a cell leader. Point 3 now says how cell leaders are made. Okay. The verse here is Mark 6. We started from verse 1, right? So now we are going to 2 and 3. Glued in the notes. Notes are not bad, but if you're gonna be astonishing, oh, you guys don't want to know the truth. You just come here. I must just sugarcoat you. I must tell you why your preaching is not working, so that your preaching can start working. Why your teaching is not? It's not astonishing. It's very normal. It's very normal. If when your people are listening, to this, they can see where you are making mistakes. They just know here. Our leader. Our leader has vocabulary issues, you know, there and there. Our leader is struggling. You shall not struggle from today. You see, for you to be a strong leader, there's a price. There's a big price you have to pay. Now I'm showing you how Jesus transformed. And people are just mesmerized. They don't understand what is going on. Who is this? You see, when every time you speak, your people are normal. Do you understand? They're just normal. Like they know this is what you're going to say. So they're just supporting you. Are supporting you so that you don't feel alone. But they are not astonished at all. They know that later they must go on CastBox to help themselves. They must go. Oh. They must go on CastBox. They must go there and there to help themselves. But they are just there to support you. They are just there to make sure that, you know, you are okay. And the most interesting thing is that you think you are doing very well. Do you understand? Usually, you, the preacher feel, wow. Even when you are preparing yourself, you feel, yeah, this is gonna knock them out. This one is gonna knock them out. But you've never heard your people say, wow. You think about it. Ever since you started preaching, have you ever been there and you are teaching and they say, yo? Or like that, my sister, yo. Like she will take it from far and bring it. Yo. Yeah. Or after a session, people come say, ish, no, the word today, yo, was powerful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Really, it has helped me. I was struggling with this thing, this and this and this and this. Okay, sharp. Next week, we'll see you next week. Next week. And actually, next week, I don't think I'll come. My uncle is saying that I should go and do this. My auntie says this. My mother said this. My father is saying this. What is, they are dodging the preaching. They are dodging the preaching. They are dodging the bullets. Where does this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given him? Like, what type of wisdom is this? Meaning, it's not what they are used to. They can't be surprised if it is what happens before them every day. You see, people have normal things that are normal. Like, this is how it has to be. But when you come in a certain way, people can sense that you've transcended. You've gravitated. You are talking from another level now. You're not normal. What wisdom is this that has been given him? That such mighty works are performed by his hand. Like, Jesus is not just talking. Oh, Jesus has proofs. Many people are just good at expounding things. Talkers. Yeah. They will explain to you the Greek, the Hebrew, and then they will also show you the Aramaic of the word. The strong concordance, and then the lexicon. They will go everywhere to show you what this word means. They bamboozle you, but there are no mighty works. There's nothing that they are doing. This is a leader that is just talking, always talking. The people don't see works. People don't see works in this leader. People don't see things being achieved through this leader. Always coming to damn things on the people. People looked at Jesus, they saw his wisdom, and they saw his works. They saw his works, and they were amazed. Say, what? Not just mighty works. Mighty works. Mighty works. Not just mighty words. Mighty words and mighty works. That's a great leader. A great leader is not just a talker. When he is saying to you, go and invite people, by the time you come, you find the people he has invited himself. You are seeing mighty works. You are seeing mighty works in this person. So by the time he's talking, you are first of all mesmerized by what you saw. Mighty works. Mighty works. A lot of leaders are just waiting to talk. To talk to us. Yeah. Their job is just to talk. But if you check, in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, let's go there quickly. You will see something very interesting about Jesus. Very, very interesting. Oh, yes.
Let me see. Is that what I want? Oh, yes. Who found it? You can read it for me. Let me see. Yeah. Okay, let's go to that. It's Acts. It's Acts 1:1. Sorry. Acts 1:1. Check it. Acts 1:1. Quickly. You are future pastor, so you shouldn't. You see, you are the way you are struggling with the Bible, eh? I'm very concerned. Some of you are looking for Luke in Genesis. The Genesis. Look at Mpompo. She doesn't even know where Luke is. Looking for Luke in the Old Testament. Read it. All that Jesus began to. All that Jesus began to teach. Jesus is a teacher. I mean, teach. No. Mighty works. Do and teach. Do. And that's where power is. I want to be honest with you guys. Most of the results that we have in our lives are not the results that God has ordained for our lives. What you are seeing is not what can be. It's what laziness, ignorance, lack of taking responsibility, many other factors is what has caused what you are seeing. Like, it's not like you see that if you are finding yourself with 10 people and you are happy with yourself, actually, if God could show you in the realm of the spirit, you could see that there's about 25 people around you, if not 30. But what we are dealing with is your lack of knowledge, your lack of act, like a certain number of things that you don't know yet and you haven't done. That's what is producing what you are seeing, and you are thinking this is it. And that's the danger of accepting today's reality as your destiny. To do and to teach. To do. And that's a great cell leader. A great cell leader is not just a teacher. He's a doer. She's a doer. They're not just there delegating everything. Okay, how far are you? Did you find him? Okay, did you do what I say you should do? Okay, talk to the other one and the two of you go and do this. That has its place. But it shouldn't be that you are just sitting somewhere as a CEO of CFO or COO and then you are just bamboozling the world around. Or CMO. The CEO, COO, CFO, CMO, and CCC. Wow. Praise God. To do, I see you doing certain things. Yes, I'm showing you how Jesus became great. A great cell leader. His teaching is astonishing, but he also has mighty works to back it. Your teaching must not be normal. Do you understand? Your teaching mustn't be done. So when I say, you are just, everything's, okay guys. So yesterday, last week we spoke about the power of diligence, ne? Okay, you remember, power of diligence. Okay. Guys, can I watch diligence again? Who remembers, what is diligence again? Okay. You know guys, these things, God must just help us. God must just help us because, you all know we are not diligent. Okay, so we are not diligent people. We are black people. We are not diligent. But God must just help us. God must help us. Anyway, today let's continue. Let's see what else we can learn today. Yeah. I'm reading here in the note that
a diligent person. Wow. Yes. Some of you look like that's what you've been doing. Your members are definitely, they are suffering. Yo. They are struggling. These guys are just, if not for Castbox to rescue some of the people, are just struggling. Then when you start teaching, they don't know what you are saying. And your voice is at the same tone the whole time. And you don't have eye contact. You are always looking at the note. So we see here, it says this. Oh, somebody can read it for us. If you find it, read it for us. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's good. Thank you. Thank you, my sister. Okay, let's move to the second point. So now, when these guys are so, like, they actually became disturbed. Like, he said, this is not right. It's not supposed to be. I mean, just imagine, like, I call maybe Sepi now, I give Sepi the microphone, and Sepi start bamboozling us with revelations like Jonita Bynum. Like, she just started. Some of you will feel like, no, man, I mean, it's not right. I've been with Muruti, I move around with Muruti. Where is Sepi getting these things, man? What's going on here? I know something is not right. Maybe she's using AI or something. There's something we need to check. She's using ChatGPT. Something is not right. Like they felt that it was wrong. What was going on was very wrong. Because they've been studying and they are not getting those results. Jesus just came today and he's bamboozling everybody. So that's why the phenomenon, we need to remind us, who is this guy? This is the carpenter. Look at it there. They need to bring themselves to understand that actually, by the way, is this not the carpenter? I mean, is this not the carpenter? Is this not the carpenter? Huh? Is this not the FNB? What do you do in the Sun City today? What do you do? The FNB, is this not the FNB guy? Huh? Is that the mining guy? This is the mining guy, FNB guy, mining guys. Huh? Is this not the cleaner? What's going on? Is not the photographer? It's not the guy who's the girl who's doing hair there by the corner there. Like they're trying to bring themselves, like, no man, this thing, we know this guy. Like we know this guy, man. Hey, you are a photographer, actually. I just mentioned it now. When I said it, I didn't know it. I actually forgot. You are a photographer. Is this not the photographer that we usually sit there taking pictures, coming to show us? Do you want to want 10 rand? Just 10 rand? 10 rand a fella, and then you can have a picture. But there he is holding the microphone. There he is bamboozling us. He's releasing some revelations. And we are asking ourselves, what's going on here? Where's the camera? Where's the camera? Well, I mean, where's the camera of this guy? These guys are asking you, where are your hammers and your nails? Let's go back to the workshop. Jesus said, the workshop is over, my brother. I have transcended. Something has changed about me. Now I want to ask you, what changed about Jesus? How did Jesus transform overnight? the making of a cell leader. How is a cell leader made? How was Jesus made? And how will you be made? Do you understand? How do you make, if I ask now, how do you make lemonade? Lemonade? Lemon? Lemon, lemonade, yeah? Lemonade. How do you make it? Squeeze lemons. Add it in salt water or water. Sugar. Add sugar to the water. Mix it. It becomes lemonade. Wow. I didn't know that. I'm going to try that tomorrow. Well done. The making of lemonade. Squeeze lemons. Add water. Hot water. Cold water. Okay. Then add some sugar. Brown sugar. Wow. There's even the color of the sugar is important. Add brown sugar. Yeah. And then do what? Mix it together. Then you have lemonade. Why don't you have lemonade every day in your house? Because you just go to your neighbor, you ask for lemons. You just get a few lemons. There's water in your house. And there's sugar there. Why don't you decide? Why are you eating and you don't? You're saying there's no cold drink. You are eating and you are saying, you are not thanking God properly because you know there's no cold drink here. Because I realize I can make lemonade myself. Like, it's so easy. Are you sure that's all you need to do to have lemonade? Is that all? Because if that's all, guys, why are we struggling in our homes? Wow. Look, we should have gallons of lemonade. Like, you should have empty containers. You get it? You put lemonade everywhere. You store it, my God. When you sit down, you take a 5-liter lemonade. You put there like that. Oh. Why are we struggling, guys? Trying to go for Ama Kingsley, Ama this thing. Meanwhile, I can have Ama lemonade. Free of charge. So you are learning how lemonade is made. Do you understand? Thank God for the man who will marry this girl, because at least there will be free lemonade. There will be free lemonade in the house. Free lemonade in the house. If you are a sister here, you present food to your husband with water. I fire you already. You are fired. 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 Why don't you do lemonade? And imagine you do lemonade and then you cut one lemon. Then you put on the side there like, What did it cost you? Nothing. You get it? So how do you make a cell leader? Not a group leader or somebody who just gathers. You see, a group leader, he just gathers people, start talking to the people. Then they go home. That's a group leader. And many of you are just group leaders. You are not a cell leader yet. You are just a group leader. You are gathering people just like the hobo boys, they gather themselves. And then they take dice. They start like they do dice. You just do some scriptures. But to become a cell leader, what is the making of a cell leader? First ingredient, prayer. Prayer. So you start checking how Jesus was made. And then you now see, because you see, we can ask this. Okay, I mean, Pastor, you are saying that God just take normal people. Yes. Jesus was just a normal carpenter. But then he appeared as a minister. And I've got a message like that on YouTube, from carpentry to ministry. You must go and listen to it. From carpentry to ministry. From a carpenter to a minister. How did Jesus transform? The first thing that God uses to change an ordinary person, a church goer, just a normal person in the church. You must ask, how do you become a pastor? How do you become an apostle? How do you become a cell leader? How does that happen? How does the transformation take place? It begins with prayer. Nothing else. You can never have lemonade and you start looking for sugar face. The first thing you need to have lemonade is what? Lemons. If you don't have lemons, don't even start. Just relax. Lemons are needed to start. This is how you start. You want to make cake? Don't look for eggs first. Look for what? Flour. Your primary ingredient is very important. So how do I get a pastor out of a person? Not just a group leader, not just somebody who gathers people and there will never be impact, there will never be a change. And those people will never last. Nothing will ever happen with these people. I mean, they're just gathered there. You see their names and then their names will disappear. And if you're not careful, even the person himself will disappear. You understand? But how do you get a person that doesn't disappear and the people they get don't disappear? They have fruit that lasts. How do you get to that level? How does God get a person that this person, when he preaches to you, hey, You are stable. You are just there. Like, you don't even know yourself how, but you are just there. You just keep coming. You are just there. You are just enjoying. You don't even know why you are enjoying, but you are just enjoying. Here are the ingredients. Ingredient number one. Prayer. 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 Mark 1:11-13. You are in Mark 1. First chapter. If you go to Matthew, it will be the same. You go to John, it will be the same. You go to Luke, it will be the same. I just pick Mark. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Amen. So this is Jesus being called and affirmed. Or maybe say, this is Jesus getting born again. This is Jesus encountering the God now. And the Bible says, at once, the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. Immediately, as soon as the calling is confirmed, you are the person, come, let's start immediately. Immediately. Training must begin right away. Don't go to the temple and no. As soon as that word was released on Jesus, the Holy Ghost took him to the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights of prayer and fasting. As soon as that word is released, the next thing, prayer. 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 Tonight you'll realize why some ministries don't make it, some ministers don't make it, some cell leaders never make it. Because the first principle, the first ingredient has been compromised. The first ingredient. These are this guy that is astonishing people later. These are this guy that is mesmerizing everybody later is starting. As soon as the word is Pray. Kneel down. Immediately. Start praying in the spirit. Yeah. Wakes up at night. This is what he's doing. for many months. Many months. Many months. That's where, that's a person God is going to use. This is how it starts. It doesn't start with you taking a dictionary. It doesn't start with you starting. No, no, no. It starts here. It starts like this. A person God is going to use to shake nations. A person God is going to use to change lives, to turn sinners into saints, to transform families, to redeem lives, is going to start just like this. You wake up at night, you put on your earphones, rabazadabagodaba. You don't even know why you are praying. You cannot even say why you are praying. You cannot even say what you are praying for. There's no prayer topic. Because you are not praying for things. You are praying to be trained. That's how your training starts. Every genuine servant of God starts like this. Sometimes years will pass. Nobody knows you because nobody sees when you are doing this. For years, you will be there. You just realize you love prayer. You just enjoy prayer. Hey, when you hear people praying in messages, you enjoy it. You join them. Hey, like when a person starts praying, even when he's preaching, as soon as he preaches, you just start praying. Like it's just all over you. Yeah, it's just there. It's just there. You enjoy prayer. You start loving prayer. You start wanting to pray. You start wanting to be in a place of prayer. When you hear pastor say pray and fast, it's like he has given you chocolate. Like when pastor says, we're going to pray tomorrow for two. Ah, like you can't wait. You can't wait to come. Like it. It starts like this. Nobody sees you. Nobody even knows you are doing it. It's just you and God. Your training has started. Your training has started. Now, thank you. What happens when you pray like that? What happens when Jesus is praying? Let's go back to Jesus. Are you here? Let's look at Jesus. Because as soon as Jesus is called, the next thing, the Holy Ghost, hey, come. Here. 40 days, 40 nights, pray. In the wilderness where nobody sees you, nobody will clap for you, nobody will say, well done, nobody will be there to support you in prayer, you are alone. You and God. The Bible says, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals and angels attended to him. You see, the only thing you are seeing there is spirit beings and Jesus. Angels, wild animals, those are evil spirits, demon spirits. Satan himself. These are all spiritual entities. So as soon as you are called into the ministry, God has to start preparing you for what actually ministry is. Ministry is not standing on stage and talking to people. Ministry is affecting the spirit world. Ministry is not holding your phone and sharing notes with us. Ministry is tackling wild animals that are inside the people. And engaging angels that wants to help those people. That's ministry, guys. So the Holy Spirit wanted Jesus to understand that this is not about show. No. First of all, you got to learn to be alone. I have a problem with a person that wants to be used by God, but they cannot be alone with God. It's very, very problematic that you are unable to ever be you and God. As soon as you are alone, you fall asleep. As soon as you are alone, you are on your phone. As soon as you are alone, you are worrying about something. You cannot be alone and enjoy being alone with God. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Because most of what God is going to do is going to be just you and Him. Just you and Him. Just you and Him. Just you and Him. Most of the communications, I'm talking about the building of a minister. It's not really the crowd stuff that you are seeing. That's not how God works. He's going to call you away with him. Just like, so Holy Spirit is calling you. Leave the crowd. Leave everybody. Come this side. Be here. Kneel down. And he's going to start teaching you. You see, that one is a lion. You fight it like this. That one is a wolf. You fight like that. You see, that one over there is an angel. He's going to help you to do this. He's showing him. Showing him. He's introducing Jesus to the spirit world. Most cell leaders are blinded to the spirit world. They have no clue what is sitting in front of them. They have no clue what they are dealing with. They have no clue what is going on. They are just looking. They are just amazed that people are not changing. They are just amazed that things are not working. But they cannot have a solution. Like, they don't even know what's going on there. Because they are not introduced to the spirit world. For them, ministry is a show. Ministry is just coming and, you know, going to gather a few guys that have nothing to do even. I mean, they have nothing to do. So they are just available and they come. Especially if you're going to have refreshments. So they're going to come. They're going to sit there. And you do what you do. You give them. So like it's like it's a deal. I sit, you feed. I sit, you feed. So we are all okay. But people that have cars, people that are well off, you can't tackle them because you don't even know how to start. Yet they have needs. Yet they are most of them also on their way to hell. They need a minister who is spiritual. Who is spiritual. Who can see in the spirit world. Or who can trade with the spirit world. When God has trained you well, as soon as you enter somewhere, you already know what's going on. You already know what's going on. You already, like, even if it's not fully accurate, but you already beginning to pick what's working on the people. What is wrong with the people? Because the Holy Ghost speaks to you. This person is like this person is like that. He's getting you in the real work. Not the facial thing that everybody can see. Somebody might be in your cell. They seem to be the most supportive person. But they are the one that are responsible for the cell not working. But you can never know. Because you are not in the spirit. You're not in the spirit. I'm not giving you a gift of suspicion, please. I'm not saying here, go and start suspecting people. No. I'm giving you the grace of spirituality, not suspicion. Spirituality. Knowing to recognize wild animals. You see, it said he was with wild animals. So, which one is this? Which wild animal is this? A wild animal is an animal you can't control, you can't tame, you cannot domesticate. And wild animals are dangerous. They are deadly. They are dangerous and they are deadly. So God is training Jesus to face the real ministry. Like not surface. Real. Real. To have somebody enter your cell and get saved and have their name written in the book of life in heaven. That's a real job. That's a real job. That's not just having a gathering where you don't even know what's going on. And most of the people are on their way to hell. And you are supervising their entrance to hell. Because you are unable to actually impact them spiritually. Your words are not deep. Your words don't have conviction. Your words don't have power to change a person's course. They come as homosexual, they go back as homosexual. They come as lesbian, they go back as lesbian. They come as fornicators, they go back as fornicators. They come as lies, they even steal your phone. Because your words don't have power. The making of a cell leader. The making of a cell leader. It starts like this. Anybody that will care to do this. That when you come here, I'm trying to train you to pray 2 hours. It's not that I don't need you to pray. But I'm trying to train you how you become anything. In God. This is how it starts. You don't dodge prayer and you become anything in God. As for meetings, you'll have meetings, but you'll not have impact. Impact starts like this. Astonishing preaching starts like this. Preaching that keeps people on their toes starts like this. Where you spend hours just praying. You spend hours just praying. You spend hours just praying to be endued with power from on high. To receive a transfer. Come back. To receive a transfer. A change. So now, let's look at how prayer helped Jesus. Luke 9:29. Are you still with me? All right. I hope you are still blessed. And I hope you still want to be a cell leader. A real one this time. Paul, read it. Luke 9:29. See, she's still looking. Luke 9:29. Let's see what prayer does. Go ahead, my daughter. As he prayed, the appearance of his countenance, his face, was altered, meaning change. Do you see? Look at me. This is the first thing that happened. So when people are asking, where did this guy get these things? Like, this is not a carpenter. No, you see, that's not what a carpenter. This guy has changed. Something happened to him. And that thing happens where? In prayer. It is in prayer that you metamorphose. It is in prayer that you turn from whatever you are to a minister. Am I talking to the right people? The metamorphosis takes place in prayer. So as you are not praying, you are that's why you see, you are the same. You are the same. And that's why you yourself, you feel inadequate. Like when you are trying to help people, I shouldn't be the one doing this. No, it's not that you shouldn't be the one doing it. It's that you are not taking the steps that will turn you into the person who can do it. That it is not that you cannot do it. It is not that it is just for a few people. It's that the first step that turns anyone into this, you have dodged. You have dodged. You have dodged. So you have remained a church member. You haven't transcended into a church leader. Into a preacher. A teacher. A bishop, an apostle. We transcend into these realms in prayer. It's as you are praying that something is altered. Yeah, as you are praying, yeah. Many times I'll pray, I will feel things are passing through me. Yeah. Many times. Sometimes I open my eyes, like it's like, what's going on? Like I check, what's happening? Many times I feel something has passed through me. Yeah, it used to happen a lot in Sun City when we end up. I'll be sitting, I just feel shoop, something has passed. And I'll open my eyes. What happened? Many times I pray, I feel a deposit of electricity. I start shaking. This is how you alter. This is how you change. This is how it happens. This is how you change. And something about you becomes different. You are no more normal. You are no more this guy who is afraid. You are no more this girl who cannot hold herself. You are no more this person. You like, because it is a change, you just start living it out. You are not pretending to have changed. You are not forcing to, you are not faking the change. It has happened in prayer. And when you walk out of that place, you just start acting it out. True ministers are men and women of the altar. True ministers. They live at the altar. The more you stay at the altar, the stronger your ministry. Because you are not at the altar so that God can change things. No. You are at the altar so God can change you. The only person that is having a problem here is you. It's not the people. You'll be surprised that as soon as another person comes, they start coming. They just start coming. It's like all of a sudden now, they want to come. It's not that they want to come. It's that the person has changed in a way that affects them enough to come. Do you understand me? Go to John 6:65. That's today's devotion. It blessed me so much. And if you can read it in NLT, I'll prefer. I hope I'm getting it right. Me. People can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. Outreach, it is not outreach that gives you people. It is the Father who gives you people. And once the Father has given you people, people just start coming to you. Like it's you don't go to them, they start coming to you. Once the Father gives them to you, they start coming to you. They start responding to you. Because the Father has given them to you. Now, how does the Father give people to people? Psalm 2 verse 8. You find it, read it. Only ask. So, prayer. How does the Father give you people that will start coming to you? It is in the place of prayer. It is in the place of prayer when Abraham was on the mountain, he negotiated all the nations of the world with God. Just him and God on top of the mountain. By the time Abraham is descending the mountain, he has everybody behind him. The whole world is behind him. He is still having a little Isaac in his hand, but actually, God has given him the whole world. At the altar of prayer. That's where he altered his destiny. The altar is where you are altered. That's where you are altered. That's where you become a minister. You can be a member all your life. I assure you, you don't become a minister by being in church long. A stick will never become a fish. Never. But there's a place of transformation. And all of a sudden, God starts giving you people. In other words, when you speak, people seem to listen. I mean, God has given them to you. When you speak, people are not listening. God hasn't given them to you yet. Pray. Continue praying. Continue changing. And become the version that they can listen to. Don't say people are rebellious. Most of the time, you are not the right version they should listen to. And you are not the right version they should follow. A CEO can come to church, but not just to any church. He has paid a high price in studying and many other things that even if he comes to it, he would be a nuisance to you. But that same CEO can attend the church, can even sweep the floor. Depending on how the person that is leading that church has transformed himself. To a degree where that CEO feels, I should come and just lay down here. Philemon 1 verse 22. If you can read it in King James Version. I'm talking to you about how God gives people to you. Which is one of the first principles of you being a cell leader. You are not leading yourself only. You are leading sheep. You are leading people. There must be people you are leading around. Are you here? Go ahead, my dear. Through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. People are given to you through prayer. Like it is high when... Hey, you know that? I see, you, God gave you to me through prayer. Like, you don't understand. Like, I see, where every day, I have to, after I finish preparing the message, I have to sit, design the poster, and Today, I just prepare my message, I'm done. I send the notes, things are done. Through your prayer, people will be given to you. At the moment, I'm praying for God to give me musicians. So it is through prayer that anointed musicians are going to be given to you. It is through prayer that anointed sound engineer, anointed this, anointed cameraman, anointed buildings, I mean great people are given to you through your prayers. It's as you are praying. So now you see why you are not having people. Oh. People are not given to you because there are no prayers. That's the cell you guys had last week. I asked all the cell leaders, who fasted? Like, who fasted? Only one cell leader fasted. I think to you also fasted. Yeah. Now, look at the cell leaders that fasted on the day of their cell. Look at all of them. Kopano fasted on the day of his cell. He had 8 people. He fasted on the door of his cell. He had about 21 people or something. The rest, Maguinha, from the morning till the evening. Come and see their attendance. Come and see their attendance. God didn't give nothing. Do you understand? God, there's no prayer. There's no effort. There's nothing. You are thinking people will just come. People must just come because I prepare my notes. I prepare the hall. I fix the thing. People must come. It doesn't work like that. People are given to you through your prayers. And then you can also look at yourself and say, I need a person who can do this. I need a person who can do this. That you get those people through your prayers. Through your prayers, Philemon 1:22. Marilyn, read the verse, please. You see, when you are walking on the streets, people are just looking at you and they say, through your prayers, I can be given to you. I know you are so, you can't believe it. True. Do you know how great Paul is? Do you know how great Paul is? Paul is a great guy. But Philemon, a small boy. Philemon is a small boy. But Paul is giving Philemon the secret of attracting great. Paul is telling him, I know if I don't give you the secret, you will never see me. Because you don't know how great people are given to people. You don't know the mechanism. You don't know the technology that brings people to people. He said, as a great apostle as I am, and you are a small Philemon, but if you can pray, and you can have faith, prepare a room. If you read that vision, say, prepare a room. Prepare a room, and then start praying. That's all. So what did God say to you? Buy chairs and start praying. Prepare chairs and start praying. So I'm saying to the Lord, I prepared a piano. I prepared a thing. My wife told me the other day, no, these drums, we need the real drums. So I'm working on that. I said, maybe that's why. Let's have real drums.
Yeah.
But you watch, a time is going to come, there'll be so many musicians in this church. In all the branches, everywhere, there'll be musicians all over the place. They're going to come. We are praying for them at the moment. They're going to come. People with cars are going to come. People with big houses are going to come. People with big businesses, all type of people. It's through your prayers. Through your prayers, a husband can be given to you. Through your prayers, a virtuous wife can be given to you. Not a snake with two heads. Because there's no prayer. There's no prayer. The snake just said, look, I see you are available. You are available. I don't understand why we shouldn't try something. Let's try something together. After all, you are single. Will you be single? Let me help you. Yeah. But when you are a praying woman, when you are a praying man, the snake is afraid of the heat. The heat that you emanate. Certain people can't stay within your circumference. They can't. Like, it's very, very dangerous. They even if they used to enjoy you when you were a prayerless carnal person, as soon as you transit, you are no more flowing. You are no more seeing things eye to eye. All of a sudden, it doesn't flow. It doesn't flow. And you should be very concerned that you've been coming to church for 6 months. Your friends are the same. They haven't, and they are enjoying you. I mean, like, after church, that's even when they feel you nice. After a church service. Even after a revival. After a revival, they are waiting for you. They flow with you nice. I mean, there's no problem. Be careful about it. Be careful about it. How come nobody is feeling your heat? How come nobody is feeling hot around you? Your prayers. Your prayers. They change you. Then your prayers determine who God sends. Paul says to Philemon, boy, just pray. Through your prayer. Don't pray. Not through your prayer. Prayers. A lot. Certain people, for them to arrive, you have to pray for you. You have to pray for a long time. You have to pray so many nights. If the woman God has prepared that you should marry, if she's the one that you will marry, you better start praying fast. You have to pray for a long time. Because the will of God has three realms. Romans 12 verse 2. Go here, go there quickly. You will get something. It is the will of God, but it is at a certain realm. I feel like I'm not in the prophetic. Like the things I'm saying are very, very prophetic. Do you understand that? I've just entered the prophetic. Yeah. For those of you that don't honor me as a prophet, you now see that I've entered the prophetic. You are just looking at me like I was eating my goya this morning. You are unable to sense, hey, our reverend is the thing he's saying then. I should be serious about that one. Read it. Praise God. First dimension, good. Second dimension, acceptable. Third dimension, perfect. It's all the will of God, but at different realms. And each realm is very much connected to your prayer engagement. Is your prayer engagement? Nothing else. Is your prayer engagement that brings just something good. Like, it's good. Because God cannot give you a bad thing. Every good and perfect comes from the Lord. So it will be good. It will help you. You'll be very happy. But another dimension is acceptable. Acceptable. So you see that good is actually a lower level. Acceptable. So it's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. But if you press just a bit more, you enter perfect. Perfect is good, acceptable, like everything is inside. is just perfect. It fits like a glove. It just maneuvers. No matter where you are, it just adjusts itself. You go to Paris, it adjusts. You go to Malawi, it adjusts. You go anywhere you go, it's perfect. It's just, it's for you. Imagine us having perfect members. Imagine yourself having perfect members. Perfect disciples. Imagine yourself having perfect disciples. Jesus prayed all night before he chose them. And he missed one still. Are you learning something tonight? Yeah, we're going to be closing here today. I pray that as you walk out of here, this first key will really sink inside of you. Don't joke with prayer. Our last verse for tonight, Acts 4:4. Acts 4:4. Timo, read it. Acts 4:4. You are a pastor, my brother. Read with the voice of a bishop or something. Not the voice of a photographer. Yes, sir. Is it Acts 4:4? Okay, let me check something quickly here. Acts 6:4, ne? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, my daughter.
But we will give ourselves continuously to pray. And to the ministry of the word.
These are the first pastors of Jesus. We'll give ourselves continuously, number one.
Pray.
I'm saying every genuine ministry begins with prayer. These are the first pastors of Jesus. And they were about to be distracted with so many things. No. Let's reconsider. We will give ourselves continuously to watching Netflix, TikTok, this and this, social media. Some of you have given yourself continuously, Facebook, Instagram. You have given your, I think you should become an Instagrapher. Become an Instagrapher, become a YouTuber. Become a Facebooker. But if you want to do ministry, that cannot be the first thing you give yourself to. Even a beloved, you cannot say, we give ourselves continuously to our beloved. continuously to beloved dosing. Yeah, continuously. That's where you are properly established. Properly established. You will be a husband, you will be a wife, but you might not be a minister. Yeah. If you're going to be a minister, this is Peter speaking. He has a wife. If you read the Bible, he has a mother-in-law and all of this. He has a wife. He said, I will give myself continuously to what?
Prayer.
And the word. That is our next ingredient next week, by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. May God bless you.
Amen.
May God establish you.
Amen.
Now, quickly, with the few minutes we got, let's go to practical tips in having a successful cell. Do you understand? Remember, the making of a cell leader, those are the spiritual elements that I give you, but I also need to help you with practical things for you to have
a successful cell. Amen. Let's start with the definition of a cell. Who can tell me what is a cell? I don't think you can do well something you don't know what it is, don't you think? Who wants to try? All right. Musa, go ahead. What is a cell? Okay. That's the definition. Who else wants to try? Building. Okay, yeah, that's the biological side of it. Yeah. Oh, maybe let me say, what is a home cell? Do you get it? What is a home cell? Banele, go ahead. Okay, you can stand up. You can stand up. Your legs are working. Yes, sir. Church, a cell is a portion of the church. Yeah, very good. You see, thank you. You can take, yes, you're saying something. Stand up. Okay. Very close. Am I a bee? Wow. Yeah. Do you mind maybe to stand up, Smolanyana? Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's right. Very good. You see, your leader is very proud of you, eh? As you are speaking there, she's melting with joy. Say that's my assistant. That's my assistant. She's doing the things. I taught her well. All right, let's start with the human body. The human body is made up of cells. Do you understand? When you start as a human being, you start as just one cell. It's one cell. Then it multiplies. Then it multiplies. Then it multiplies. Then it multiplies enough, I think, to form your heart. Then it multiplies. Then it multiplies. Then it starts forming your whole self. You start with one cell. That starts multiplying. Then it becomes an embryo. A fetus. Yeah, a fetus. You understand what I'm saying? I think it's like, is it? Am I right? Yeah. So a fetus, then it starts growing. Yeah. And then becomes an embryo. It's one cell that multiplies. Like, you don't start like a small baby, then you become a big baby. No, you start as a cell. Then that cell starts creating you. Like, when it starts, it's not like maybe if you use a microscope, we see your eyes, your knee. No, we don't see anything. We just see one dot. And then that dot starts multiplying itself until your body starts forming. Your internal organs. I mean, the miracle of God is just mind-boggling. Like that, your whole being comes from that cell. And then you start multiplying. Then your head starts forming. Your eyes start
Like he's multiplying all the time and forming different things in you. Your lungs, your heart, your intestines, your liver, the bones, your brain. One cell that you can just touch like this and you crush it and it's over will now create bones that you cannot break. We create all kinds of things. So in biology, write this down. A cell is the smallest structure and functional unit of an organism. The smallest structural and functional, not structure, structural. The smallest structural and functional unit of an organism. I don't even want to come and check your notes. Only God knows what you guys are writing there. It's really a problem in this country, I'm telling you the truth. Smallest structural and functional unit of an organism. Smallest structural and functional unit of an organism. That's the biological definition of a cell. It's the smallest structural and functional unit of an organism. Any organism can be broken down to a cell. Any organism. Anything, any animal is broken down to a single cell. A lion and anything, you descend it, it just becomes a cell. That grows to that. So the human body, which is an organism, different functioning organism inside the human body, can be broken down to one single cell. It is that single cell that forms the whole body. And that's the same thing. Jesus now came and said that the church was his body. So that the body of Christ, the church. And if a body is made of cells, do you understand? That multiply and create a body. Then the body of Jesus, which is the church, will have to follow the same principle. The body of Christ, for it to be healthy, it has to have cells. Because the human body has different parameters. Like, you see, it's not what is happening here is not happening down there. It's units, and every unit is operating perfectly. And that is where, when all the units are operating, the whole body is working perfect. Also, for a church to be growing, to be expanding, it starts with cells. A unit that is healthy, growing, building well. From that unit, another unit there, and another unit there. All those units being held and being led by proper leaders that understand what a cell is. Then when all those cells come together, you have church growth. Not just in number, in depth, in experience, in power. Because each one of those cells individually is growing, is maturing. So when they all come together, it's a healthy body. What causes a body to be sick? You find out that maybe the cells here are not working well. And then there's an infection. And that infection, you think about even a nail, just your nail, that is cut or something, you will see how that thing here will paralyze and affect the whole body. If you like try to have a toothache, and you come and tell me after. How it will affect your whole body. But the problem is here, but the whole body is affected. That's how you understand that when you are having dead cells, cells that are not functioning well, the whole church is struggling. The church is weak. The
church is sick, the church can do well. Because when you enter that cell, there's pus, there's rot, there's infections. So this cell has infection, that cell has infections, that cell has infection. So when they all come together on Sunday, you are dealing with an infectious body. You need to spend the whole time injecting paraffin. I mean, not paraffin. antibiotic. You have to use. That's why you find the pastor is always shouting and is sweating and shouting and is very tense in the church. Because they said the cells are dead. They are sick. Do you understand that? My body is made of cells. For me to have a healthy life experience, all my cells must be working perfectly. Now, what is a home cell? Write down. A home cell is a group of 3 to 15 people. 3 to 15 people who gather once a week in a specific location. A home cell is a group of 3 to 15 people who gather once a week in a specific location at a specific time. Right? Specific location, specific time, right? For the purpose of fellowship, prayer, evangelism, and discipleship. Are we there? A home cell is a group of 3 to 15 people who gather once a week in a specific location at a specific time for the purpose of fellowship, prayer, evangelism, and discipleship. Let's start with the first one. Fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is just coming together to strengthen one another. You see, when a person is not in a group for a while, you lose that person. To understand this better, imagine a bonfire, you see, that is burning. And then you remove one of the coals from that bonfire. Do you see? You don't even need to pour water on it. Just take it out of that group where they are all together. As soon as you remove that one coal from there, you put it aside. What starts happening to that coal? It starts dying. That's how it is. Fellowship keeps the body alive and keeps the members alive. So whenever Satan wants to fight a member, what he basically does is he starts pulling the member out of the fellowship, away from the fellowship. Whenever you sense Satan telling you don't go to church, look, you are already in big danger. Once Satan starts saying to you, no, don't go to church, no, you don't need to, something is going wrong already with you. He has a plan to destroy you. Therein lies the wisdom of gathering. Because many times when you start with people, they do not know the importance of fellowship. So they will not come themselves because they don't know the importance of it. That's why you have to gather them into the fellowship. But don't just gather them. Teach them what I'm teaching you so that they can understand the importance of being there. Fellowship is how you keep your members alive. Fellowship, just being together.
And people can be together, but they are not in fellowship. So a leader must learn how to break through the walls of the people until they become one big family. The main purpose of a cell leader is to create a fellowship. Not to have a gathering. People are coming, they're having a gathering, and then you preach, and then they all go. They don't know each other. They don't connect with each other. They don't flow with each other. There's no fellowship. And when there's no fellowship, people can stay. Fellowship is the connection. It's like, you know, other churches call it community. Meaning, when people come together, it becomes a community. They start communing together. As you guys are here now, some of you have created community among yourselves. So you see, it becomes difficult for you to leave this church because there's somebody you are connected with in the church. There's somebody you are interested, you are attached with in the church. And that connection helps you stay in the church. When you have nobody you are connected in the church, it's very easy for Satan to take you out. Very, very easy. So a leader's job is to fight so that no cell is on its own. All cells must be connected. They must be together. There must be unity. There must be togetherness. There must be a flow. And I want to tell you, you don't achieve that easily. So you find out all your guys, they come, everybody is there for themselves. And as soon as you are done, everybody goes. They are not yet connected. So you are not yet having the first sign of a cell. You are having gatherings, but you are not having yet a cell. In a cell, I have broken through the wall that existed between this person and this person. So now they are flowing. In fact, even without me, they start asking, are you already on your way? Oh no, wait for me, I'm coming. They start talking among themselves. I mean, you are creating a community now. They start feeling together. And there are a lot of things you need to do for you to get them to the place where there are no more individuals. They have become a family. They are connected. It's a fellowship. That's why we call them alive fellowship. It's a fellowship. People come together. You break the wall that exists among them. And the first wall you break is the wall of sin by getting them born again into the family of God. So you must be good at number one, leading people to Christ. You cannot have darkness and light fellowshipping together. Your first assignment, they must all be born again so that we are all in the family of God. So you must have a heart to not have people sitting in front of you and they are not saved. You must have a heart to see people saved. Because that's how they enter the family that will turn into a fellowship. And you start uniting them. And there are many things you got to do to unite them. You got to pray. You got to fast. You got to learn how to talk during the cell. Give everybody a chance to talk. But wisely, so that they share. And sometimes you need to have a meal with them. Those are things Jesus, I'm going to show, those are all the things I'm saying. That's what Jesus did. He had a meal with his disciples. Sometimes they find, no, I'm greater than you. This is, and then we teach, no, don't. I don't want you guys to think about such. That's not what we're here for. He corrects them until they became one family. So when he moves, they all move with him. They are together. You see, when you are here, as we are here, everybody has their own vision. Everybody has their own plan. My job is to help us become a big family. How I teach, what I do after I teach, who I sit with, what I talk about. Everything I'm doing is so that we are together. We must stay together. Enough until we start finding each other. You know that you are doing a good job when among your people, some even start becoming beloved. Like they are finding each other in the group. where your members, their beloveds are not unbelievers. They are now wanting to be here. Oh, this guy's got a job. He's got a job to go to Soweto, but they say, ish. No. It's okay. I'm going to be here. You know that you are really not working well on them, because they are even ready to adjust their lives to be there. That's the fellowship part. That's the fellowship, the most important part. So you must have an icebreaker so that people can laugh a bit. You break them a bit. Then when you are teaching, you are not teaching like Reverend Pascal. You make it very, very practical to them so that they can engage it. You make sure that they know each other by name. So that's why the cell seating is not cinema style. You don't sit a cell like this. This is the center seating. A cell seating is round to create connection. You create a connection. When you sit people like this, you've created it. Like, they see you as the teacher, they are the students. When you sit a circle, people feel connected. They feel there's a connection. All those things are done to break into fellowship, into community, so that people can start caring for one another, can start loving one another, can start wanting to be with one another. And it stops being yourself. It becomes their self, our self. And you are beginning to win when you start hearing and say, hey, when is our self? When is our self going to do this? When is our self going to have a bride? When is our self going to? You know you are beginning to win. Because it means when they go home, they are not thinking about this as their self. But if you haven't gotten that, don't be discouraged. But just know that your job is still just beginning. They must know each other. They must love each other. They must flow with each other. And it is your job. You have to learn how to make them work together. Be a father and a mother. Be everything at the same time for them. Fellowship. Fellowship. And the cells come together. And the members come together. And they flow together. When some cells have become very attached, even in the chair, they sit together. You see that when they come, the first one that comes, he puts things. While he's still gathering them, because they want to be together, they want to receive the word together. They enjoy each other. Like they are always talking. Hey Charlie, this and that. Like they even have their own way to talk in their cell. Like they have their own, like it grows to that. You see, hey Charlie, because Bishop Dag has created a big fellowship. There are certain words that are only spoken in his fellowship. When you are in his church, you will speak like that. You don't speak like that if you are in another church. Your cell can develop until you start having things that it only your cell people, they know what this joke means. Until then, you are bishop. Hey, I'm root. You are bishop and you are having a congregation, but you don't have a cell. And we don't need that, because we have that in the big church. We have bishop, congregation, all of that in the big church. You have the big body. But when you now enter the body, you don't find bishop. You find a cell. A caring group that love each other, believe in each other, help each other. That's Cyrus. And that's what makes the church grow. Because you see, once you've created fellowship, people don't want to go. They want to stay together. And because they are staying together, do you understand? You are keeping good numbers. And when you hit evangelism to that, meaning they are already in good fellowship, but then they are now evangelistic, meaning they are reaching out to other people to add to the group, then you start having church growth. Meaning you are not adding and losing. Anybody that is joining, we fight for them to stay. We just add them to the fellowship. We teach them our ways. First and second cell, they start flowing. By the third cell, they are in fully.
and we've kept them. And we make sure they enter Basanta. I'll teach you all those parameters. How to make sure your people don't lose your people. The first step, that prayer I told you about. If God is not giving people to you in prayer, you are having snakes. You are having snakes around. So those snakes, you can never tame them. You can never lead them. You can't lead snakes. You can't tame snakes. They are wild animals. You can only lead sheep. So people must be saved. People must be born again. Pure salvation. Filled with the Holy Spirit. So a cell leader who doesn't know how to lead a person to Christ, a cell leader who doesn't know how to take a person and help them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this cell leader will have carnal people. Carnal people. So in that cell, there's no life. The life of God is not in that cell. They're having gatherings, but the cell leader is not having a vision of being a healthy cell that is adding to another healthy cell, and we have a healthy church. Everybody is a bishop. They come and dispense powerful preaching, but they don't know how to love, how to care, how to visit, how to deal with the matters of the heart in a person. They are not anointed. Fellowship. The biggest key of any ministry is fellowship. What is fellowship? Community. What is community? Togetherness. Just think about togetherness. Being together. And the motto is, together is better. Together is better. Anybody here, you're into sport, and some of you also, you see, Fanade, he's a soccer player. You can never have a winning team that is divided. Even if all the guys are professional players, but if they are not united, you will never win any game. So the coach must not just teach them how to play on the field. He must teach them how to be a team, how to be together, how to not be selfish, how to not be egocentric. Yeah. That's the real one. That's the making of a cell leader. It's a deep guy. It's a deep leader. Always having a plan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And this girl, I see she's like overpowering everybody. But I'm gonna visit her. And then I'm going to do like this. And I tell her next time, don't, I like the way you share. So I prefer you share less. Let the other share a bit. And then you share less. Yeah, you maneuver it until you kill it. It flows nicely. Yeah. You arrange your chairs in circle. You sit at the middle, and your people are all around you. You talk to them. You laugh. You enjoy. You make it nice. And you make it to not be too long. 1 hour is enough. If you prepare well, 1 hour is enough. You'll have impact in 1 hour. Because you want them to come again next week. If your cell is long, when they think of coming and they remember that you keep preaching for long, they will not want to come again. So you have to make it quick. Straight to the point. Because you don't use the cell to change them. You use one-on-ones and prayer and other things to change them. This is for fellowship. You can't change people in 1 hour. You just unite them. You try to unite them, bring them together. But after the cell, you're having talks. You go to their homes, like you do a lot of stuff. You bring them together just to celebrate and enjoy. Then there's prayer. Prayer is where you help them know God, relate with God. So you pray. They must see you pray in the cell. Don't be a carnal person. They must see that you pray. You believe in prayer, and then you must have a time in the cell that will have the prayer for needs, where you pray. You ask. Anybody has a request, you're trusting God for something, you know, come, let's pray. And then the whole group comes. Oh, bless our brother with a job. Bless this one with this. Bless you. And you'll be amazed at how God will bring testimony in yourself. You'll be shocked that something we prayed about last week, the person will come this week and say, hey, my brothers, you can't believe.
just after I prayed last week, when I went home, the next day I got a call. This and this. And that, what is happening? There's power in yourself. There's power in yourself through prayer. Number three, evangelism. A cell that does not multiply is dead. A cell doesn't maintain. A cell multiplies. Cells do not maintain. They multiply. They don't maintain. They multiply. They multiply. So when a cell doesn't win souls, that cell is already dead. Because there's no multiplication. That cell has cancer. You know that cancer is a cell problem in the body. Cancer is a disease of cells. Yeah. So now this is for those of us, you only come and teach. You teach. You teach. The cell is dead. The cell is alive when it gives life. When your cell is giving life every week. So a real cell must have outreaches and must have new people joining the cell. And those people are getting saved. Then we see that your cell is multiplying. Your cell has life. And if you're having a cell, it's just the four of you. Every week there's the four of you. You guys died a long time ago. I'm talking about as a cell. Maybe you can be individual, but as a cell, you are dead. It is evangelism that brings life to, just like, see these ones? My son there. There was a time it was just the two of us. You understand? How did you multiply? By giving birth. And then he was born. Then we became three. Then we gave birth again. Then she was born. We became four. Then we gave birth again. Then she was born. We became five. I said, no, I think it's enough. Let's adjust. Let's adjust ourselves. Therefore, like, you understand? If you are not giving birth, you can't multiply. You can't multiply. You multiply by giving birth. You multiply by giving birth. So a cell must have salvations. People must be saved in yourself. You know, when I became a pastor, that was a big thing for me. People were not getting saved in my meetings. It was a concern to me. Why are people not getting born again? I fought in the spirit until people started getting born again in my meetings. That's how I'm going to show you that it is through cell that you're going to become a real pastor. A true pastor. Not these fake things. A real pastor. Yeah. The people really get born again. And you see, this guy came here. He was smelling dagger and all of this. Look at him now, clean and nice. By the power of God. Why? Because they've encountered Jesus in yourself. That's a real cell leader. That's a person who knows how to deal with wild animals, Satan, and angels. Are you blessed? And the last one, discipleship. 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 Where you are training them, developing a team. The cell of Jesus had more than 12 people, but you only know 12. Because that's where his focus was. But then you hear, and he appointed 70 also. Where are 70 coming from? They were always there. They said it was just big. But he was just focused on 12 people. Developing them in a thing. It was a very intense training on 12. In yourself, everybody is the same. You treat everybody the same. You talk to everybody the same. There's no other meeting you're having with other people. There's nobody you are training at a certain level. No. Must be a disciple. Somebody I'm raising. So when I come to prayer, I must say them at prayer. Why don't I pray? You're not a good study if you are still praying alone. Jesus went to prayer with his disciples. Not a good cell leader. You are the only one who can pray in tongues. No? Jesus was training. That's discipleship. So in the cell, we have evangelism. But in the cell, we also have discipleship. discipleship, meaning I'm training other people to be just like me, to do what I'm doing. Wow. The making of a cell leader. We'll continue next week. But these meetings are designed to shift you into new dimension, to understand the work better. Do you understand? Do you feel like you understand the job a bit better? Yeah. Understand the job better. Say, you can do this. I can do this. You can do it if you understand what you have to do. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it very, very well. More practical things will come next week. Let's learn on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you want to pray tonight for God to revive the grace for prayer if you've lost it. Or to God to give you the spirit of grace and supplication if you don't have it. But ministry begins with prayer. Amen? Ministry begins with prayer. Just raise your voice. Raise your hands. Lord, release the grace to pray. Release the grace to pray in my life. In the name of Jesus. Karabashandere masuka palandereba. Rebreze katere palandore mandereba. Zaga de brezu kotara fele mandereba de. Breze te chevrezu kapele taramo. Kele masi bre katere falada. Zobre dige de vele masu broshte vele damana. Zabra dege de vele zibrega de bada. Come on, pray that the altar of prayer will be rebuilt in you. A minister is made at the altar. A minister is made at the altar. A minister is not made at the pulpit. At the altar of prayer. Altar of prayer. I want to see you praying at night. I want to see you praying in your room alone. Praying for yourself. Praying for your cell members. Praying for the service. Praying for an outreach. I want to see you praying. Open your mouth. Open your mouth and pray. Share bale bara. Ola mandere male gara bara 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 bara. Erebas libre katora perandere mandere balandere ba. Hey, yapa yaba. Ona mana. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The grace to pray. Kona si peleda. Branche patoya, sapera deya, levresta toya, shipera deya, zapora deya, brancheva leya, kasupo leya. The grace to pray, receive it tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. You shall not be a dry branch. Oh, you shall be fresh. Every dryness is clearing from your life. Your words will carry power. There will be visitations of angels in your meetings. There will be dealing of wild animals. Receive the grace to pray. Receive a fresh unction for prayer. Fresh unction for prayer in your life, in your ministry, in your soul. There shall be prayer. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. And tonight we've learned. In Jesus' name. Tonight we've learned what a cell is. And there are four elements that make a cell. Fellowship, prayer, Evangelism, discipleship. Those are the four legs of a cell. It causes it to be balanced. Why don't you pray for yourself? Are these things in your cell? Are these things in your center? Whatever you are busy with, are these four things present? Especially fellowship. Do people love each other? Are you working at it? Why don't you ask God for wisdom tonight? So that such four things should be clearly seen in your cell. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the name of Jesus. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Zebra de bagede barango da bara bara. Father, I pray for prayer in myself. I pray for fellowship in myself. I pray for the word in myself. I pray for evangelism in myself. Shalamando reverente que pele mandara baleba. Masole branda capa. Shele brende que pele masole manda catola. Mala brando capa. Father, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. I pray for wisdom, Lord. I pray for wisdom to know how to lead the servant prayerfully. Lasto capala. Ebre catola. Masole brende capala. Shele brende que pele. Masala brando capala. Mesele brende catola capala. Erebara daraba solema. Thank you, Father. Thank you for releasing graces tonight. My cell is a prayerful cell. My cell is a prayerful cell in the name of Jesus. Mashokapala. In my cell there's fellowship. Lebende kapalama. In my cell there's evangelism. In my cell there's discipleship. Malabra kapalamade. Malabra kapalamade. Malabra kapalamade. There's discipleship in my cell. There's fellowship in my cell. There's evangelism in my song. There's prayer in my song. Thank you, Lord. Kato Makelama. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for this equipping that we've received tonight, Lord. We thank you that we've been armed, Lord. For you gave some to be teachers, pastors, apostles, preachers, evangelists. We thank you, Father, and prophets. For the equipping of the church, for the equipping of the body, for the work of the ministry. We thank you, Father, that as we leave this place tonight, we are leaving equipped. And these equipments will stay with us. Thank you for graces that are being released here. More cell leaders are rising in this place. More cell leaders, Lord. More cell leaders. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and transformed by the powerful Word of God ministered by Reverend Pascal. If you are anywhere around Rustenburg, South Africa, we warmly invite you to fellowship with us at one of the many branches of Alive Bible Church. Join us for our uplifting services every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Friday at 4 p.m. for our prayer services. Stay connected with Alive Bible Church through our social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok for more inspiring messages and updates. Thank you for joining us today. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you.